If you've enjoyed listening to Issues Etc. this year, please consider a year-end tax-deductible donation to support this worldwide outreach. You can contribute by check, make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Issues Etc. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois 62234. You can also make a year-end tax-deductible gift online at issuesetc.org. Thanks for listening, and thanks for keeping us in mind when you consider your year-end giving. On this New Year's Day, you think about what was and what's going to be. What was, you can't change it. What's going to be, well, you can't change that either, and you don't know what is going to be. And yet a Christian faces both the past and the present, knowing that he stands firmly in the grace that is ours in Jesus Christ. And the hymn we're going to be looking at here on this New Year's Day, "Now greet the swiftly changing year," and they do change so swiftly, has that refrain, "Another year of grace." We're going to be talking with Dr. Paul Grimm about this great hymn, "As a New Year Begins." He's professor of pastoral ministry and missions and dean of the chapel at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, formerly served as executive director of the Commission on Worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Dr. Grimm, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thanks, Todd. It's good to be with you today.
The church keeps its own calendar. Our New Year began weeks ago in Advent, but the church also marks the, as it says in the hymn, the swiftly changing year. Why does it do that? Why does it at least give a tip of the hat to how we mark time in the world?
Well, because the church is in the world. Not that we're of the world, but we certainly are in the world, and our people live and meet, breathe and move with those changing seasons that the world observes. What's remarkable, though, of course, is that probably long before New Year's celebrations became as exciting and exuberant as you were describing at the top of the hour here, the church observed that changing year perhaps in a little different way, in several different ways, actually. For quite a while, I would dare say that through the Middle Ages, probably the change of time at the New Year was marked with much more of a penitential nature, in a sense, as the old year having passed away, and there's even an old German chorale with that title, "The Old Year Has Now Passed Away," and it was just a bit of a mournful sense about it in terms of what had happened. I think probably we now have a little bit of a focus that maybe expands that somewhat and tries to build upon the recognition that there's a graciousness of what God has given us as we look back on the past year, the swiftly changing year, so to speak, as the hymn describes that we'll look at, but also into the new year and to the promises we rely on from God that we trust will be His through Christ again in the coming year.
Dr. Paul Grimm is our guest. We're looking at the New Year's hymn, "Now Greet the Swiftly Changing Year." On the other side of the break, we'll be talking about the author of this hymn, Yaroslav Vajda. Stay tuned.
Your comprehensive source for information, teaching, and truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
If you've enjoyed listening to Issues Etc. this year, please consider a year-end tax-deductible donation to support this worldwide outreach. You can contribute by check, make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Issues Etc. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois 62234. You can also make a year-end tax-deductible gift online at issuesetc.org. Thanks for listening, and thanks for keeping us in mind when you consider your year-end giving.
This is Pastor Clint Poppy, Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Lincoln, Nebraska, a proud supporter of Issues Etc. Each month, we host the Nebraska Lutherans for Confessional Study, a serious study of Lutheran theology. We generally meet on the fourth Thursday of each month from 9:30 to 2:30, and both clergy and laity are invited. There is no charge to attend. For more information, please call the church office or visit our website, goodshepherdlincoln.org, and click on the green NLCS tab.
Common and experienced firsthand by sitting down in classes and actually hearing professors, coming to chapel, which is always the high point of the day, to hear the word of God and to lift our voices in song.
Issues, Etc. regular guest Dr. Paul Grimm on why you should consider visiting Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Spend time talking to professors. I mean, there's not a professor here who will not be willing to take time, whether it's after chapel during the coffee hour or just to come into one study and sit down and talk for a while, to answer questions, to help them to get a sense of, A, do they want to be a pastor or a deaconess? And then B, is this the right place? And, well, maybe C would be the question, is now the right time for them to make that decision?
If you've contemplated the vocation of pastor or deaconess, contact Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155, or send an email to admission@ctsfw.edu. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're studying the New Year's hymn, Now Greet the Swiftly Changing Year, with Dr. Paul Grimm, Professor of Pastoral Ministry and Missions and Dean of the Chapel at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, formerly served as Executive Director of the Commission on Worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Paul, let's talk a little bit about the hymn's author, Yaroslav Vida.
Well, actually, I'm going to jump at you there. It's the translator you asked me to talk about. The author, we don't know. So I can answer that question quickly. I don't know anything about the author. This is a good example, though, I think, just to mention the fact that many of the church's hymns, the older hymns, are anonymous. We do not know who wrote them. We can trace down the first publication, and in the case of this hymn, we know that it comes from the 17th century, first part of that century. But the author is one of those people that we don't know. It's of Slovak origin. And not surprising, then, that the one who translated this hymn is probably the most preeminent translator of Slovak hymns in North America in the 20th century, and that was Yaroslav Vida. He describes, actually, a marvelous little story he tells about his earliest memories of childhood. His father was a pastor in the Slovak Lutheran Church, and he describes how on Christmas Eve, they would, on New Year's Eve, in their parsonage, sing this hymn as a family. And then the next morning, they would go to church on New Year's Day, and the whole congregation would be singing this hymn, and it just apparently stuck in his mind. And of course, it was in the original Slovak language, 15 stanzas, in fact, back in the original hymn. He translated the hymn years later, and he reduced it down to 8 stanzas, 7 of which are in our hymnal. The 8th stanza kind of got lost along the way since its first translation.
What are the biblical themes or texts that would undergird this hymn?
Yeah, there are several. And the themes are, obviously, that the changing year is something he wants to is brought out by the author, and that comes through in the refrain of this hymn, which continually repeats about another year of grace. Rejoice, rejoice, with thanks embrace another year of grace. But what the author does, and what then Vida did, is he reduced those 15 stanzas down into the 7 that we have, is he took another event that the church celebrates on the same day, the New Year Day, which is the 8th day of Christmas, and ties it to a particular passage in the Bible, namely Luke chapter 2, verse 21, which is the verse that follows immediately after the very familiar Christmas story that we will all hear in a few days. In Luke 21, he reports to us very simply that on the 8th day, which is exactly 1 week after the birth, Jesus, according to the custom of the law, was named and circumcised. And the author of this hymn brings those two events into the hymn in very, very subtle fashion. You almost won't even notice them, but in a very beautiful way, kind of tips the hat to those significant events as Jesus places himself under the law in order to fulfill the law on our behalf.
Stanza 1 of Now Greet the Swiftly Changing Year. Now greet the swiftly changing year with joy and penitence sincere. Rejoice, rejoice, with thanks embrace another year of grace.
Now greet the swiftly changing year with joy and penitence sincere.
That's the first stanza of this hymn, Now Greet the Swiftly Changing Year. Let's talk about that idea of a swiftly changing year, because For some, the years seem to drag by. The older I get, they seem to fly by. But the church always has a perspective of the transience of time itself. Talk about that, if you would, Dr. Graham.
Yes, the church, you know, as you mentioned at the very beginning of the hour, has its own calendar, one that very much is of similar calendars to what we experience in the secular world, in that there's this cyclical event, this understanding that the time moves on, and yet there's a repetition in a sense. Anyone who's lived long enough realizes there's not too much that's new under the sun, and the church recognizes that, but in a profound way, namely in that her proclamation offers nothing new and yet everything that's new in Christ. And so we live through this ongoing cycle, and often depicted with a circle, at least in the church for her calendar. You'll often see it depicted as a circle. It keeps coming back, and you know, as soon as you finish, you start right back up again, and it keeps starting up again. With calendars, of course, we just kind of flip the pages, but you get to the end of one, you have to throw it away and get another one out. But for the church, that calendar is a circle. There's one aspect to it that probably isn't quite accurate, and namely that it's not just the same every year. Because even while we may approach a celebration of our Lord's birth on December 25th or the New Year celebration the week later, we approach that every year in a sense with the same message, yet the reality is we're not the same. I mean, even within a congregation, you have people who have, since the past year, have died and are now with Christ. You have new people who are in the congregation, some who maybe have just been born, others who have moved to the congregation. There are all kinds of life events that have taken place in that experience of that congregation. And just, you know, as we look at our own lives, we see exactly the fact that we are not the same as we were last year. It's a swiftly moving current that we are in a sense, and yet our Lord, who does not change, remains constant for us. And that really kind of forms the heart and center of the church's message, that this swiftly year ought not frighten us, because we have a Lord who remains sure and firm. And so as in the first stanza, it talks about with joy and penitence sincere. I mean, it's almost kind of taking the twin poles of the recognition of the good news in Christ that we've celebrated with the birth of Christ, the joy to the world we sing, is also matched with this penitence, understanding that it is only by faith in Christ and by his mercy alone that we are able to receive the benefits that he has to offer us.
We don't have a recording of the second stanza, but I'd like to read it and have your thoughts on it. You mentioned it before in passing. Remember now the Son of God and how he shed his infant blood. Rejoice, rejoice, with thanks embrace another year of grace. That is more than just a reference to the circumcision. That's an allusion to the cross in time, isn't it?
Well, indeed. The infant blood is the clear reference to the circumcision, but it points ahead. And for Christians who know the rest of the story, we cannot help but connect that shedding of blood then with the shedding of blood that will accomplish salvation for the world. It's amazing that verse in Luke 20, chapter 2 is probably just passed over by a lot of people. They never get to it after hearing the Christmas story multiple times. We just kind of slip past verse 21 in this accounting of what took place and the significance of you know, every circumcision that had occurred in Israel up until the time of Christ. For all of them, it was a sign of the promise and that faith, trusting in God to fulfill his promise, is now fulfilled in this Son of God, born of the Virgin Mary, who sheds his blood as every Jewish boy had since the time of Abraham, and would then, of course, voluntarily lay down his life to shed his blood for all mankind.
The third stanza does, in fact, reference the other thing that you mentioned the church celebrates here, which is the naming of Jesus. Here's stanza 3 of Now Greet the Swiftly Changing Year. This Jesus came to end sin's war. This name of names for us he bore. Rejoice, rejoice, with thanks embrace another year of grace.
This Jesus came to end sin's war. This name of names for us he bore. Rejoice, rejoice, with thanks embrace another year of grace.
I like this notion that he bore this name of names for us. Talk about that.
Yes, the name of Jesus, Savior of the world, one of many names, of course, that we hear in the telling of the Christmas story, is the name by which we know that it is his purpose to come to save us from sin and death. And he bears that name knowing full well he will also then endure sin's war, as the first part of that stanza describes it, because that salvation will not come cheaply. As Luther says in one of his hymns about this, he says, God gave his dearest treasure. That's how he describes Jesus in one of those hymns. And indeed, this Jesus, given that name, it, again, you can just pass by the story. He's given the name Jesus, and off we go to the next story, but not so fast, because as we hear in the gospel this past Sunday from Matthew chapter 1, with the dream given to Joseph to tell him to take Mary as his wife, you know, precisely that name is given with the explanation, you know, he will give him the name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And every Sunday of the year, no matter which event we're celebrating, but every Sunday of the year, that ultimately is the church's proclamation, that in Christ sins are forgiven, sin's war is ended, as Christ the victor is the one who fights for us and will sustain us then in every battle that we face as we await the day of his return.
So that name commits him to the task that God has sent him to do.
That's a good way of putting it. Just as the name Emmanuel describes him, God with us. And in that account during the dream that Joseph has, you know, both that prophecy that had been given to Isaiah is given to Joseph. You know, this is Emmanuel, God with us. And now with that name Jesus, it's very clear that he is the one who now comes to save.
I really love Vida's way of translating this fourth stanza. His love abundant far exceeds the volume of a whole year's needs. Rejoice, rejoice, with thanks embrace another year of grace.
His love abundant.
What are your thoughts on that stanza there, Dr. Grimm?
Well, if we could only remember to believe that. When you think about that, you know, his abundance is you know, his love is abundant, far more than we need. And we forget that so often. And if we could begin that new year simply with that reminder, you know, fresh on our ears, that you know, he has an abundance of mercy, of blessing, of grace, that will meet every need that we face. And yet, so often we bump into this problem or that problem, this fear, this worry, and it can be so easy quickly to forget that we have that promise, that God will sustain and care for us, instead being very tempted to rely upon our own devices, you know, some way in which we'll fix the problem, in which we'll have to overcome it, or we'll just have to bear it grudgingly or silently, to know that his grace will be with us and will sustain us is a comfort and one that we can enter the new year with. It doesn't automatically erase the problems. It doesn't just mean we can ignore, but yet it gives us the assurance that God will go with us, even as Jesus has already fought for us.
We're looking at the new year hymn, Now Greet the Swiftly Changing Year. Dr. Paul Grimm is our guest. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about how this hymn acknowledges some of the real serious regrets that Christians have as they pass through the swiftly changing year. Stay tuned.
Are you a homeschool parent looking for help teaching certain subjects? Or do you want your student to study the history, languages, and literature of Western civilization? Memoria Press Online Academy has live online classes with master teachers to help you. Their teachers have years of experience teaching, delighting, and moving students literally from all around the world. Your homeschool year doesn't have to be difficult. Visit MemoriaPressAcademy.com or call 877-745-8866.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
We're looking at the hymn, "Now Greet the Swiftly Changing Year" on this New Year's Day. Dr. Paul Grimm is our guest. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Issues Etc. has been brought to you in part tonight by the Master of Arts in Theology program at Concordia University, Irvine, California, where courses are taught online and at intensive on-campus sessions in the summer. Apologetics, Christian education, leadership, and Reformation studies are just a few of the emphases offered. Find out more at cui.edu/theology, cui.edu/theology, Concordia University Irvine's Master of Arts in Theology program. Paul, one of the things I note here is that this hymn does acknowledge in a very realistic way some of the serious regrets and doubts that Christians entertain at the turning of a new year.
It does. And so it looks both to the past and to the future. And maybe that is the way a Christian ought to take that turning of the calendar into a new year into account, is to recognize that there is mercy and grace that covers every misdeed, every error, every fault, even as it opens to us the promise that in this new year, God will work through us still the same. It doesn't excuse our attitude or behavior. It certainly doesn't excuse sin, but it gives us the comfort that in Christ, we have the assurance of His mercy and grace.
And then I'd like you to just briefly talk about the fact that this is a love, as he says, that exceeds these things, that God's mercy, we say, is new every morning, but it is not simply enough just to get by.
Well, no one can really fathom the depth of God's mercy. I think that's probably a fair way to put this. The scriptures talk about it over and over again, and to the extent we immerse ourselves in the Word of God, it becomes clearer and clearer to us, and yet probably becomes even more clear just how little we can fathom His mercy, because that He would offer His Son for sinners is just beyond understanding, and so it is with every aspect of our lives. The problem is we become rather myopic in kind of viewing this whole thing, I think, sometimes. As Satan crowds in on us, as our fears and doubts begin to crush us down, and the worries about the future weigh in on us, we simply begin the navel-gazing, not looking outward toward the promises God has given, not looking to the cross where we know that salvation is won, and instead, again, relying upon ourselves just ends up cutting us off and shutting us off from the riches of God's mercy. And so this little phrase is a nice way of putting it, in a sense, to simply set before us that very simple truth, one, though, that requires faith to receive. We can't figure this one out on our own. But simply, we trust God's promise that His mercies are new, but they are more than sufficient.
Stanza 5, "With Him as Lord to lead our way in want and in prosperity, what need we fear in earth or space in this new year of grace?" Your brief thoughts on that stanza there, Dr. Grimm.
Well, first off, is how Vita has just pulled a little subtle change on us. He doesn't have the same refrain at the end. Instead of the rejoice, rejoice, this time he breaks away from that and simply kind of extends the stanza and gets that new year of grace at the very end. But again, with Him is leading the way. He's the Lord who leads the way. And it really follows upon the previous stanza. I think these two, more than anything, fit together, kind of assuring us not only of God's mercy and the abundance with which He will bless us, but also then the promise that He leads us. And He leads us sometimes through very dark paths. This is not a prosperity gospel that's being suggested in any way. There are moments when we can barely believe that God is fighting for us at all. And yet, as we enter that new year, every new year, every day, I mean, this has to be the reminder given to us, is that this is the Lord who leads us. And again, it may be in times of want, it may be in times of prosperity. We don't take either of those as indications whether or not God loves us. Oh, I'm blessed so much, he must love me. Oh, I have nothing, he must not love me. No, in either case, we know that for those who love God, there is that certain promise that he is for us and nothing shall be able to stand against us. So in that regard, then, what need we fear in earth or space in this new year of grace?
And stanza 6, an homage to the season. All glory be to God on high, and peace on earth, the angels cry. Rejoice, rejoice, with thanks embrace, another year of grace. What are your thoughts on that final stanza we hear from Now Greet the Swiftly Changing Year?
Yes, well, what Vida does here is kind of pull a fast one on us and reminds us, I think, of a larger context. We're celebrating the new year as we're entering it. We're celebrating the circumcision in the name of Jesus that took place on that eighth day after his birth. But the point is we're still within those, what we'd like to call the 12 days of Christmas. I mean, we haven't lost sight yet of the fact that we're still celebrating the birth of Christ, his coming into this world that he might accomplish these things for us. And so that reminder comes to us with the song of the angels, that we're outside the field of Bethlehem as the sky is filled with the angel hosts singing, "All glory be to God on high." It's amazing how simply these words fit so nicely into the meter. Sometimes it's very hard to do that. Advaita had a knack for being able to get the syllables and the rhymes all to work just perfectly, but precisely with the very words of Scripture themselves. And so our rejoicing is joined with that of the angels. You know, as that sky opens up and the shepherds, you know, witness this unbelievable scene, "Glory be to God on high," they sing. The church has ever since taken up those words as part of our own rejoicing that we sing. And in fact, in many churches that sing these words of the angel on a regular basis, they've let them go for the last weeks of Advent as we've been preparing for this birth of Christ. And now that hymn of praise, rejoicing, you know, that it comes back again. And so throughout the year that will continue, we'll take up that song of the angel as we lift up our glorious praise to God for his wondrous works for us.
Let's hear the entire New Year hymn, "Now Greet the Swiftly Changing Year," sung by the American Contrari. Dr. Grimm, your final thoughts on this New Year's hymn.
I didn't know Jaroslav Vida very well, though I had met him on several occasions. I've been in touch with enough of his hymns, though, to realize he had quite a knack, whether he was writing a hymn from scratch or whether he was translating one of many of his beloved Slovak hymns, that he had a simple but yet profound way of taking a thought and providing it to us in a way that we can make it our own. And I think this hymn does it in a lot of ways. Now, this is not the original tune. This was sung tune. The Slovak tune that came with this hymn was a bit more reserved. You can tell from this singing that it's quite a jubilant little, almost like a jig as we're rejoicing. But in either case, whichever melody, it's quite beautiful that we are drawn in so that we might give ourselves unto rejoicing with thanksgiving for this grace that God is bestowing upon us. And the hymn reminds us that whether it's good times, whether it's challenging times, that rejoicing will be there, as ought the thanksgiving, even though sometimes it may come through clenched teeth, yet it comes springing forth from faith. Faith that God, in his Son Jesus Christ, has brought life and salvation to the world. Faith that God has called me to be his own. And faith that he will not abandon his own, but will sustain them in this and every year of grace. And with that, we cannot help but then rejoice and rejoice.
Dr. Paul Grimm is professor of pastoral ministry and mission and dean of the chapel at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. He formerly served as executive director of the Commission on Worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Dr. Grimm, thank you very much for your time and a happy new year to you and yours.
Thank you. Same to you.
Folks, if you've enjoyed this hymn study, be sure to check out our 24/7 sacred music station, Lutheran Public Radio, where you can listen to the best of the church's Christmas music right now for free, LutheranPublicRadio.org, and on the LPR mobile app. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Christians, young and old, are increasingly pressured to change their beliefs. That's why St. Jude said we need to contend for the faith once for all delivered to the saints. At the San Antonio Worldview Conference, Confessional Lutherans Jonathan Fisk, Jay Weber, Ryan McPherson, and Craig Parton will unmask the false, direct us to Christ and His Word, and defend the faith. The San Antonio Worldview Conference, Saturday, February the 11th, San Antonio, Texas. Visit worldviewsa.org. worldviewsa.org.
Repentance and forgiveness, sin and grace, law and gospel, more than cliches, real preaching for real people in need of hearing the real Christ. Christ for you and the divine service at St. Paul Lutheran Church of Hamel, Illinois, where we gather every Saturday night at 6 and on the Lord's Day, Sunday mornings at 7:45 and 10. Look for the Church of the Neon Cross on I-55 between exits 30 and 33. Find us on the web, stpaullutheranchurchhamel.org. St. Paul Lutheran Church of Hamel, where there is the forgiveness of sins, life and salvation for the people of God.